Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Our Father's Word, chapter 51, the great book of Isaiah. Yahweh's salvation. This is that way to salvation. And if we were to title this 51st chapter, we would title it, Listen to Me. And our Father's rather firm in that, and he will use emphasis a time or two in this chapter. He wants his children to listen to him. And having said that, that kind of says it all. Chapter 51, verse 1, word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. Hearken to me, listen to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Catch these qualifications now. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. That is to say, the very quarry, which is the rock you're hewn from. And of course, Christ is our rock. Our Father is our rock. Their rock is not of our rock. It's family. Now, I want you to note, he didn't say sinners. He didn't say those that go against the law. He didn't say those that don't care. He's talking about those that follow after righteousness and that seek him. That's what he's interested in. That kind of makes the cut of, and the swath that our Father walks and wants to hear, wants them to listen. The others are not going to hear anyway. Verse 2, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And of course, Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90. And Sarah was barren, had never had children. God blessed her. And here came forth the seed that would be blessed. And God, not only that, he made a whole new covenant, or a covenant with Abraham. Changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning to the father of many nations. To be a blessing to many different people. Why? Because Christ would come through that genealogy. That's the rock. That's the quarry from which they were hewn. Verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He's going to bless it. That was his promise coming out the gate. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden. That's the garden of God. And her desert like the garden of the Lord, even out in the waste. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You know, after God's blessings, there had better always be, if you're following him and you're seeking the right path, thanksgiving. Don't forget to thank him. He is your Father, and when you listen to him, and he alleviates the unknown to you, whereby you are informed. When you have eyes to see and ears to hear, don't forget to thank him. Thank him for many things. Of course, we know that some of these prophecies in this third verse have not come to pass, but they will. They will. Verse 4. Hearken unto me. You listen to me. My people. And give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. And of course, what is rest? Rest is Sabbath. That's the meaning of Sabbath. And what is that rest and what is that light to the people? Well, it's Christ, of course. It's Yahweh's salvation. And Christ, of course, is that Savior, and he is the light to the world and the light to the Gentiles through which Abraham was to be a blessing. So, and again, there are conditions with this. It's those that seek him, those that are his people. God's people are those that love him, those that follow him. Yes, he is the Father of all, but he claims those that seek him, and that seek him early. And as he would say back in the 43rd chapter in the 26th verse, hey, remind me of my promises. Yes, even this one. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. And our Father is always open-minded, And he does give you that rest. He gives you that light. And then with that established, then you're a child of God. And you had better listen. Oh, many times you have to open your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes to see what the will of God is. Verse 5, my righteousness is near, is to say Christ. My salvation is gone forth, and so he has. And mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. In other words, we trust his judgment. Why? Because he knows what we're thinking. And God is always fair, and he is always just. And his righteousness, because, why? Because he's always right. Verse 6, lift up your eyes. That's to say, you open them to the heavens. Look at them. And look upon the earth beneath. Look at it real good. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein, excuse me, shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Naturally, what we're looking forward to here is the seventh trump, and when everything changes. And we are all changed into spiritual bodies. So you can lift up your eyes and see that spiritual advent if you have eyes to see and if you have ears to hear. And this is simply a natural change of events that Paul himself would teach in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye. And naturally, that remains in this dispensation and this dimension will not matter, because it will wax old like an old garment. Why? We're going to change clothes. You know, I'm using clothing as bodies is the real thing. We change bodies. We're through with these old flesh bodies. Verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. And he's talking to a special group here. People that know his law and that know what is right. The people in whose heart is my law. They have it in their mind. Fear ye not the reproach of men. This word men is not Adam, it's Enosh. And it means mortal men, flesh men. You don't have to be afraid of flesh men. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings. They're going to complain and whimper and not be happy. You don't have to worry about it. Not in the least. Because you are doing what's right. And when you have God's law in your mind, that is to say, the plan of God, what his plan is, how he intends to establish this new dimension, and it's eternal. It's forever. Never again will there be sadness when the execution of the order is completed. Never again will there be hurt, because we'll be home with our Father in that dimension. So don't worry about what men say and or do. Our Father's in control. Verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation, meaning it's unending. It's never going to stop to those that love him, those that serve him. His righteousness, that is to say, those that even try to do what's right. Nobody's perfect. And sometimes we fall short. But if you're trying, and you always repent and be thankful for what he does for you, you're in good standing. You don't have to worry about what men may say, because you have the Word of God in your mind. You have his seal in your forehead. You don't have the seal of the beast in your forehead, the mark of the beast in your brain. You've got the seal of God. And that inoculates you from any deception or any way that Satan could harm you, because you have the power and the authority given to you by Almighty God in the name of the Son to dispel anything negative. Verse 9, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Rahab is usually referring to Egypt, and it means pride, okay? And of course, the dragon is the old crocodile of the Nile, okay? Egypt. Said, think back to the old times of old, how God delivered Israel right out of their hands. Verse 10, art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? You parted those waters, you dried that ground. Israel walked over to dry ground, and Egypt, old Rahab and the dragon, followed them down in there with their chariots and men of war, and God closed the water over them and destroyed them. Are you not the same God that did that? And he's saying, of course I am. What he's reminding you is to wake up and listen, because when he's ready to end this affair, he has the power and the authority. His arm is sufficient, just as it was in the times of old. Verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, not maybe, shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy. How long? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Hey, that's future. When you look at Jerusalem and Zion today, you know that with suicide bombers and so forth, this has not come to pass, certainly. That the enemy is still at hand. We know that that the power of the arm of God is not, but it will return. And it will happen at the second advent after the reign of the Antichrist. You know that. But naturally, being everlasting joy, this is future. And being future is something you can look forward to. You can anticipate with gladness and with thanksgiving. It's going to be wonderful. It truly is. Verse 12. Even I. Boy, that's double emphasis. That's your father swearing by himself. Even I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man here is not Christ. This man is lowercase, and it's Adam, meaning flesh man, which shall be made as grass. In other words, he's going to die, he's going away. Why would you be afraid of him when we have the eternal body to look forward to? We have the eternal Father to put our trust in. And that he, when he says, I am he that comforteth you, then he sent the Comforter. The Comforter being the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit of Almighty God that is to everlasting and is assuring you, I take care of my own. You trust me and you use the wisdom that I give you, and you got no problem as far as men are concerned. And he meant it, he said it, and he emphasized it by his own name, stating that comfort. And so it is. So, what is he saying? Man can't save you. God can. Man can do very little, quite frankly. He's like grass. Hey, what about grass? Well, it grows nice and green, but then somebody cuts it or it dies when the first frost hits it, and it's gone. It's out of here. So is man. But not God. Not our Father. Not the eternal, everlasting, spiritual being in the true state of God's elect and those that love Him. Verse 13. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that hath stretched forth the heavens. I mean, many men do that. They forget Almighty God that stretched forth those heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? God is kind of using a little irony in this. He's kind of like saying, of course, the oppressor is the Antichrist. And he's kind of saying, do you think for 1 minute, even 1 moment, that I am worried or afraid of he that I created? Meaning Satan. God created the heavens and the earth, and he created Satan. Do you think he's afraid of Satan? Of course not. He made him. He created him. He can snuff him out just like that. So, of course, he can say in irony, do you think I'm afraid of the oppressor? Certainly he is not. And he would make duck soup at anytime he so chooses. And naturally, you can take Nebuchadnezzar, you can take any oppressor down through the ages. The Assyrian, the whole bunch, and ending with Lucifer. They're all ones God created. Naturally, our Father's not afraid of him. That's why he can use the word Enosh in the Hebrew tongue in the earlier part of this chapter when I said that's mortal man. Because mortal man is exactly that. He's mortal, and mortal means liable to die and will die. But our Heavenly Father, when you are approved by Him, and when you are chosen, or I will say saved by Him, you have eternal life with your spiritual body. And you have that joy of His righteousness forever. Everlasting. Verse 14. That 13th verse should give you comfort. Okay. 14. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. And naturally, this is quoting from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. Whereby, if you listen to Christ, you'll escape the pit, and he that goes into the pit. And do you know what the two verses are before that 9:11? It naturally, it's 9 and 10. Isn't that brilliant? But verse 9 of Zechariah chapter 9 is Christ's first advent. Verse 10 of chapter 9, Zechariah, is the second advent. Not when he comes riding an ass, but a war horse. Conquering at the second advent. And then, of course, that 11th verse that's quoted here is that he abstains you from the pit and gives you eternal life. He is your, when you listen, you escape, in Christ you escape the pit. Okay? And everything that's in it, which is the oppressor. Verse 15. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hey, the waves were out there, and they were roaring. I parted her right straight down the middle. I provided that way across. I can cut it. That's what our Father is saying. In other words, you can trust him. You can put your strength in him. 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. I protect you. that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth and say unto Zion, thou art my people. And of course, where are those words that are placed in his mouth? It's Christ's mouth. It's the two-edged sword and all those that serve him, God's elect. Verse 17, awake, awake. Stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. It's going to be poured out. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. All when Jesus would walk, as it is written in what chapter? Matthew 23, where he would say there in the big woe chapter, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have taken you as a mother hen would her chicks. But you wouldn't. And naturally, the dregs are poured out because the Antichrist will set up camp there and deceive many of God's children with his rapture doctrine to fly them away. And they're ready. Many of them are. Unfortunately. Why? Because God makes it very clear. He makes it very plain as to how we should follow him. So that cup of wrath is going to be poured out. But let me assure you of one thing. If you were standing right in the middle of the street and that cup is poured out, it will not offend you, because God is not angry at you. This is the cup that Jesus prayed could pass, that there would be an easier way to bring salvation in than the destruction that this cup should bring. And Father decided to pour it out anyway. Why? On the seat of Satan. Verse 18, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Talking about Jerusalem here now. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she has brought up. It's just confusion, bloodshed. Verse 19, these two things are come upon thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Question. Desolation and destruction, that's one. And the famine and the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? And of course the answer is Christ. For the sword is the mouth of the Lord, the words of Christ. Verse 20, thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net or an antelope, properly translated. They are full of the fury of the Lord, to rebuke the rebuke of thy God. He's done this. God's going to clean house. That's why it's important that you love him, that you be a child of God, not a lost soul. No time to be a lost soul when this happens. 21, therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. You listen to me. That's the words from verse 1. Listen. Verse 22. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. In other words, that's it. It's over. I'm not going to let it happen again. Christ prayed that that cup should pass. That cup ultimately shall pass. When it has accomplished what it is supposed to accomplish, and that's to cleanse Mount Zion, whereby the Millennium Temple can be built there. And you know when that happens from, I'll quote Zechariah again, 14, when Christ's feet touched the Mount of Olives and split that way straight across Kedron, the valley, to the very east gate. As the sun would come up in the morning and shine through that east gate, so shall Christ. And that shall be done, that shall be built, and that cup will have passed over, done with. And the very Spirit, the Comforter of Almighty God, shall reign supreme, and the cup will be no more. Verse 23 to complete the chapter. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, not soul, not your body, bow down that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. They've tromped you in the mud for the last time. They have walked upon you for the last time. It's not going to happen anymore. He said, I'm going to take that cup, those that have abused you in that way, and I'm going to give that cup full strength to them. And he shall. I would not want to be in that crowd, because that's going to be a terrible time for them. This happens just before that great day when every knee will bow to the Almighty God. Some of them are going to be trembling as they bow because of the dregs, because they know truth. They know what they've done. And they're ashamed. And they do bow. Listen to me. That was the chapter. You want to listen to your father. Why? Because that's exactly how it's going down. Word for word, verse by verse, as it shall transpire. And you're a part of it. Don't ever think you're not. Because it is that place that Christ has picked as the place he will return, and it is for that simple reason in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Satan, the vile person, picks the same place to stand in at the sixth trump, claiming to be God, to deceive all those that have not the law of God in their mind, but will carry the mark of that false one. This is a bad time to be confused. To be in Babylon, which is confusion. That's why you want to certainly come out of her. This thought kind of continues on. Let's go another verse or two into it. Chapter 52. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. It's going to be changed. Christ is going to reign. Now, what are these beautiful garments? Naturally, the new city from Almighty God is formed there. But what garments do we wear? What are those beautiful garments that we wear? It's the gospel armor. As it is written in Ephesians chapter 6, the main thing you want to remember of the armor, it's required that all of it, Christ is your shield, help, your salvation is the helmet. And with Christ as your shield, he thwarts anything that might come towards you. But what holds your britches up? Out of the gospel armor, what holds your britches up? Well, it's your girt. And what is it? It's the Word of God. So don't ever think you're wasting your time studying the Word of God and putting on that gospel armor, because you're putting on the very Word that inoculates you from the deception of the end times. It gives you that inoculation by the Holy Spirit whereby you cannot be deceived. Because you know the strength and the arm of Almighty God that parted that sea and that will deliver his children just as eloquently in these end times. Verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. In other words, shake out everything that offends there. The slaves of confusion. Get rid of them, and let purity and truth enter therein. This is God's favorite place, as we learned in Ezekiel chapter 16. God's favorite place, not only in the world, but the whole universe, where he stands and where he shall dwell in the eternity, right here and right there on that same mount. And that Mount Moriah that the child was taken up to, and God spared that child but gave his own, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that mount, crucified for you, that we have this beautiful salvation, that we have this gospel armor that we place on. We have the Word, which is his Word, the living Word, the flesh that the Word that became flesh and walked among us, to be crucified, paying the sins. The very town in which he was crucified in is going to be cleansed. Never again will it be allowed. Verse 3, "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money." In other words, you sold yourself out to confusion, to bad leadership, to bad religions. You sold yourself, but you're going to be bought back for naught. You're going to be brought back by the blood of Christ, for Christ is going to take it back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What a time to live in this generation, as we look forward to these things, because you're in that generation of the fig tree when you'd better be aware of them and looking forward to these events, knowing that we are at that time. So we'll pick this up here in the next lecture. Don't miss it. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Second book of Moses, called Exodus. This fantastic book of the law witnesses God keeping his promise to Abraham that he would deliver Israel out of the Egyptian captivity. The type established by God delivering his children out of bondage in Egypt is readily seen as the way out of the confusion of this world for Christians today. That is to say, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word Exodus means in the names. In Exodus, we also learn the names or seed lines through which Jesus Christ would be born in the flesh. Exodus, as taught by Pastor Arnold Murray, is available on audio cassette tape or VHS tape. The 13 audio cassette tape set is our item 126, and the suggested donation is $52. Or if you prefer the 11 VHS tape set, it is our item 671.13, and the suggested donation is $275. Partial tape set orders are welcome.
All right, there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, 1-800-643-4645. Hey, that number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moves, you got a question, share it. Please never ask a question about a particular denomination or individual, Reverend. Don't judge people. That's not right. Judge no church, judge no man. God is judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? You don't need that number and you don't need an address. Why? Well, God knows what you're thinking. He is your Father. He is the creator of your very being. Why? Because he wanted someone just like you. But he wants you to love him, and it pays great dividends for you to return that love, because then you're seeking his righteousness. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, we'll get into some questions here. We're going to go with Wendy from Michigan. You said there are no prophets in today's age. Please explain Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and Acts chapter 2, 17. In the last days, our sons and daughters shall prophesy. It hasn't got here yet. You must rightly divide the word of God. When does Joel chapter 2, verse 28 transpire? after Antichrist sets foot on earth and God's elect are delivered up. Then, and then only, and it's not they that do it, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking to them, through them. If you read Mark chapter 13, you're not to even premeditate what you will say, because it's not you that speak. Okay? So, you got to rightly divide the word, or you deceive people. Okay? Joanne from New Jersey. My question is, when we lose a loved one and a loved pet, will we see them when we go to God? Thank you. Yes, that's documented in the millennium chapters of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25, documents that you'll know your mother, father, brother, sister, you know, or a close relative, and you will see them. God loves animals, and we know from Isaiah 11, animals will be there. Joyce from Tennessee. My question is probably stupid. There's no stupid questions, okay? But when the true Christ comes back on the seventh trump, since he sits on the right hand of his Father, will Jesus' Father also be with him? If he does, then wouldn't people know that he is the true Christ? No, he will not be with him, okay? Now, first of all, let's keep things straight. What is Christ, Emmanuel, God with us? But the full Godhead, de jure, does not return to earth until the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment. Then the Father and the Son would be present, both offices, the Godhead coming together, okay? At the great white throne judgment. Why? Because God is the one that that does the judging. John from Connecticut, in reference to Revelation chapter 16, verse 19, it states that the great city was divided into three parts. Can you please clarify if that great city is Babylon? Why is it divided into three parts? Well, Revelation 16, 19, it is divided in three parts, and it is the great city Babylon. But read the 18th verse, and you'll find out how it was divided into three parts. There was a great earthquake, and it broke her right into three parts. Okay. Read the 18th verse of same chapter. Philip from California, what I've recorded, I shared with other people. I have no intention of charging anything. Hey, you're supposed to share. When God gives you a truth, you're supposed to share it. No problem, okay? Plant seeds and let God's word grow. Nancy from New York, could you please document the eighth day creation, Adam? It's real easy. Why? Well, he created in the Hebrew manuscripts Adam and all of the races on the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And on the eighth day, he created Eth Ha'adam. This is the Adam through which Christ would come. This is why that we have races all over the world. This is why Cain could go to the land of Nod, because there was a different race there, and take a wife. Okay, the manuscripts are very clear. And it's the easiest thing in the world to document, but you have to utilize the Hebrew manuscripts. So, Nancy, you'll just have to, the next time we teach the book of Genesis, or you could order the video, and we will carry you through the video into the Hebrew, showing you exactly where the Hebrew manuscripts declare that. Rebecca from Maine, is it possible for someone to truly be forgiven for their sins, no matter how many or how bad? I've sinned a lot lately. The unforgivable sin is for one of God's elect to refuse to witness before the false Christ. You haven't done that. And when you repent, even if it's 490 times, God forgives you. Which what that is saying is 7 times 70, meaning You're always forgiven when you truly repent, which means having a change of heart and that you're sorry for it. Okay? Just talk to him. Let him know. How far can one go before it is unforgivable? There's only one unforgivable sin, and you can read of it in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, is to refuse to let the Holy Spirit speak through you on Pentecost Day. The question before, when she said, prophets today? No, prophets then, when the Antichrist appears, okay? You're doing real good. You hang tough. Repent and go in peace. Melvin from North Carolina. Pastor Murray, could you please tell me, how can we be saved and keep having different answers from different preachers? Please help me. Well, why are you listening to so many preachers? Why don't you go to the Word of God? That's who you want to listen to. Don't listen. In today's lecture, didn't God tell you be careful of man? Enosh, watch mortal man. They'll mislead you. Go to God's Word. And when some preacher says something, if you can't document it in God's Word, guess what? They're probably pulling your leg. Okay. Probably, if you listen to confusion, you grow confused. And if you listen to a bunch of preachers, I would say your odds of having one good teacher or two out of the lot will be a little bit slim. So you're going to hear a lot of confusion. And you garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. God's Word always gives you the truth and nothing but the truth. So you stay in His Word, rightly dividing it and letting it edify or edit your life whereby you have that Word of God, okay? Study His Word. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And don't worry too much. Don't listen to many people. Listen to God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. David from Michigan. Please explain 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says that Adam was the first man. I thank God for your ministry. It has changed my life. Well, David, that's great. Okay, proud of that. I'm happy for you. I want you to read it again. It doesn't say that Adam was the first man. It said he was the first Adam. There's two. The Adam and Christ. God said, let us make man in our image. Eth ha'adam. That's what it says in the Hebrew manuscripts. So he created Eth ha'adam, the first Eth ha'adam. There were already other Adams, okay? But the first Eth ha'adam was the who we call Adam. And the second, read on down to verse 45, 46, 47, and it'll tell you that the second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Why? Because He is God with us. Eth ha'adam. Brenda from Maryland. I enjoy the chapter by chapter and verse by verse study. That's good. I would like to know, what are the three world ages? Also, what did you say that the word Hosea means? Well, the three world ages are three earth ages. We had one before this. That's why you find dinosaurs, remains and fossils, ancient, millions of years old. Why? Because there was an age before this at Satan's rebellion. We have this one, and then we have the eternity coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 gives you all three earth ages. Hosea means salvation, okay? Hosea is like saying Yeshua, Yahweh's Savior, okay? When Cain took him a wife, how did he marry a woman when it was just Adam and Eve's family? There were all the races. And Cain went to the land of Nod and married a woman there from a different race, okay? Victoria in Florida. After the millennium, will the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus all become one? I love your teachings and you. Well, thank you. That's return. Ditto. After the millennium, you can read Revelation chapter 21, verses 20 through 24, and it will answer your question. The full Godhead de facto will be here. But you got to remember, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And naturally, our Father is the Father, God of all. Okay. Steve in Minnesota, when the elect Christians are delivered up before the Antichrist, do you think Antichrist will reveal himself to everyone, or will it be secret? Oh, he's going to make a big splash. He's going to reveal himself to everyone via television, claiming Christ has returned. There's just one big problem. He is the Antichrist, okay? Nothing secret about it. He makes big splash. That's the role he's wanted from day one. Even back in the first earth age when he tried to sit on the mercy seat rather than protect it. Yvonne from Pennsylvania. Pastor Murray, what are the two sticks and how are they put together and where is this in the Bible? The two sticks are Judah, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. They are split now. They're not together. They have not been together since about 600 B.C. because the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes from Samaria, were taken captive by the Assyrian, and later they would go over the Caucasus Mountains, settle Europe, and many later to the U.S. of A. And then the tribe of Judah, the house of Judah. And this is why you must be careful, and that's why both houses are addressed in the Word of God. They're separate, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, just before the great battle of Armageddon, then you will find that God will tell Ezekiel, "You prophesy, what do you see out there, Ezekiel?" He said, "I see a valley that's just full of dry bones." And he said, "That's the whole house of Israel," which meant they're spiritually dead in a hammer. They have no truth. They don't know who they are. And he said, "You teach to them, prophesy to them." That means teach the Word of God to them. "What do you see now?" "Well, there's beginning to be a little bit of life coming to them out there." And that's what, when you teach the Word of God, the real truth, it brings life. Bone onto bone, truth onto truth. And life comes back into the people, and the house of Israel awakens. And then he said, you take that stick and you join the two back together. And naturally, that comes into the millennium. Okay. Ezekiel 37. Glenn from Pennsylvania. I was taught when I was young that we are to forgive those who wrong us. I have forgiven my brother for his wrongdoing to me. He does not follow the right way and is always doing something wrong. Was I wrong to forgive him? No, you... Forgiveness, if you don't forgive someone, and then I would highly recommend to you 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, begin reading with verse 6. But you're doing the right thing. Always treat him as a brother, but sometimes you have to set yourself apart a little bit. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 tells you what the limits are on that, okay? But if you don't forgive, then it festers in you, and it hurts you more than it does anyone else. So the beauty, and most of all, God wants you to forgive so he can forgive you for anything you mess up on. And he expects us to do that. Otherwise, you have a boil within yourself, and it just festers and festers, and it bothers you. It's very difficult to find peace of mind when you harbor hard feelings, when it's so easy just to take. But by the grace of God, there go I. Ignorance is bliss. Sometimes they can't help it, so forgive them. But by the grace of God, there go I. And get it out of your system, okay? But don't let it continue and continue and continue. Follow 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Jared from New York. Where and when was the world created? Well, the world was created right here, okay? Right here on good old earth, and it was created in the beginning, okay? So simple. Chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis. Genesis meaning in the beginning, and it was created in the beginning. Isaac in Alabama. Is Satan in heaven, and do you have a teaching on it? Well, I do, but God does too, okay? Satan, way back in Job chapter 1, verse 6, went with the sons of God and went right up to God in heaven. And he would talk to him. But we know now that Jesus has said, you get behind me and you stay there. And as you read Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, Michael is holding Satan in heaven. But he's going to kick him out when his role of Antichrist here on earth comes to pass. And then as it is written in Revelation 12, woe to those that are on earth, for Satan is with you as Antichrist. Karen from Texas, when Antichrist is here on earth, will all the elect be delivered up together or separately? Most likely separately or in chunks, I'll say. You being from Texas, you know what I mean by chunks, different numbers. We know, as it's written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, that no individual, not a group, but no individual will have over 10 days of trial and tribulation. So, naturally, it lasts 5 months, so there's different groups, different chunks of people that will go through that. Ken from Minnesota. In the Bible, it says the dead are sleeping. What does that mean? That means the flesh, okay? But the souls are with God, and they're not asleep as we think of sleep in the flesh. The flesh is all that sleeps. It goes back to dirt. As it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the flesh goes back to dirt and no one ever remembers it anymore. Why? It's not your real body. Your real body is your spiritual body, which is written of in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Dallas from Kansas. God created the races on the sixth day. As you always say, I read the verse and I can see how you are seeing this. Please help me understand it so I can document it. I love your teachings. Well, you're going to have I want to say it again. It seems like this is coming up quite often. You're going to have to do it in the manuscripts if you're going to document it to someone else, okay? It can be done. If you have a companion Bible, it will help you, okay? Because it distinguishes when the manuscripts say not Adam, but Eha-Adam, which is two separate peoples, okay? And in just the English translation, you're not going to be able to catch that. So you need the first six chapters of video on the teachings of Genesis by yours truly, which I show you the very Hebrew manuscripts and teach you how to read that particular statement whereby you can document it, okay? Kim from Georgia, where can I find the Companion Bible and how do I study the best and how to research? Well, the Companion Bible is a Bible that I have kept alive. It was done by Bullinger, who passed away in 1915. It has 198 appendix in the back that on that many different subjects by one of the best scholars of the last century, and which bled over to the century before that. And I highly recommend it. And you can acquire a Companion Bible through Shepherd's Chapel. Just ask for a book list. And you study and research by the outline that you would have in that Companion Bible. Each chapter is outlined, whereby it gives you who the who's are and thems and so forth. Makes it a little easier. Eddie from Mississippi. Are we the bride of Christ? Well, if you love him and you are chosen and serving him, and you're going to stand against the Antichrist, you got it. We are the bride of Christ. There's no gender intended there, okay? Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7 gives the wife and the bride. When one is a student, a scholar of God's word, we know that many were chosen in the first earth age or married in the first earth age, and they kind of become the wife, not the bride. Okay, so I only add that not for confusion, I think you're ready for that step. Dorothy from Georgia, I don't understand. If Jesus didn't raise up until the third day, I thought I heard you say he preached on the third day. Please explain. Well, you probably heard me say he preached while he was in the tomb. Because it is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, that he went to the prisoners all the way back to the time of Noah, because he had paid the price on the cross and made salvation available to them too. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't make salvation in Christ available for us today and not have made it possible for all the way back to Noah's time. He made it possible for them too. David from Arkansas, and I'm out of time. We're going to have to save David's till the next broadcast. Okay. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Do you understand? He sent you this letter. And when you study it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, it makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. He loves you for your having done that. We are brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. But there's one thing most important, and it's this, that you stay in his word. You know what? Every day in his word, even with trouble, it's still a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word.